the Women's European Cup final as well. Olympic Lyonnais taking on Wolfsburg. A man who's going to tell us all about those two Champions League finals this week is a man who we love to get on the show, the big bad Brassel himself, Mr. Andy Brassel, joining us here on World Football Daily today. Andy, how are you doing, mate?
Wow, what an entrance. Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
Well, I'm glad you're doing well. I'm sorry to hear that you won't be able to make the ladies' final tonight, but you are covering the big one on Saturday. Let's start with the Women's Champions League final first. What can you tell us about this Olympic Lyonnais side that's taking on the German ladies of Werder?
Wolfsburg.
Wolfsburg, apologies. Yes,
who are very, very important to know. Who are the German champions as well? So it's a clash of two genuine champions, and it should be a really good match. But it's going to be a difficult task for Wolfsburg. You can't get away from that because Lyon have won it the last 2 years in a row. They haven't lost a game all season. They've only drawn one, which is the French Cup semi-final against Montpellier, which they went on to win on penalties, though, due to an irregularity by the referee in that they actually offered to replay it. They're a formidable side. Our US listeners will probably know that they now have Megan Rapinoe as well. So a bit of US interest in there. This is a team that forms the core of the French side that has been incredible since they won their first Women's Champions League title in 2011 at Craven Cottage against Turbine Potsdam, and they've just grown and grown from then. And they're, I suppose, the Barcelona of the women's game with even more impressive statistics. And you know, they're surprisingly strong and physical as well. I think people who haven't watched a lot of women's football will maybe be surprised by the physical engagement of the match when they see it tonight. I do advise you to see it tonight. It'll be a great final and a great showpiece, and also the opportunity to see the best team in the women's game of modern times.
I mean, you mentioned there, obviously, Lyon extremely strong and enjoy having their finals in London with that convincing win, as you say, 2 years ago. But how do Wolfsburg break down this Lyon side? Because with every team, there's got to be some sort of way to manipulate them and to find a chink in the armour, if you will.
I suppose there are two ways of looking at it, and it will be difficult. There's no getting around that. I would say perhaps exploiting Sonia Bonpastor on the left hand side, who's still a very fine player and the captain of Lyon. But you know, she is one of the older players in the team, so looking for space behind there, and they're very physically strong in the centre of defence, so maybe it will be down to Alexandra Popp of Wolfsburg to exploit a bit of pace and maybe try and get in around the back of there. But you know, they've got their hands full, there's no doubt about that. And you know, Lyon have so many goal threats all over the pitch. They have power in every line with Wendy Renard at centre back, all the way up to Lotte Schelling, their main striker, the sort of female Zlatan up front. So it's a formidable task.
It's a Wolfsburg side that, unlike the Lyon side, which is scattered with a number of players from outside of France, there's only two players outside of Germany from this Wolfsburg side. Are we seeing a similar adaptation to the women's game as the men's game has taken place in bringing through German talent through the ranks?
That has been the plan, but you know, this is something that's very much in its infancy. I mean, we looked at the 2011 Women's World Cup in Germany. Of course, you know, you had it at fantastic stadiums, fantastic full stadiums, which was a real step forward for the women's game. But you look at the player factory in the men's game in Germany, and you assume it's going to be the same in the women's game. But you know, there's still a gap to be bridged. And despite the fact that, you know, as I said, the World Cup was such an important event just for sport, not just for the women's game. Because if you look at the aforementioned Alexandra Popp, for example, there was no academy for her to come through, no specific women's academy for her to come through. And she's only 22 years old. And so it's a problem that young German women are still having to deal with. I mean, what Pop had to do, she got special permission to train with the men's academy at Schalke, and that's how really she got into the women's game. So there's still a lot of work to be done, even in countries that are relatively progressive in terms of the women's game.
I don't want to sound kind of maybe ignorant or anything like that to the coaching standards of with women's football, but could that be beneficial of bringing the women, helping bring them through the men's academies? Could that be maybe more beneficial in? I want to sound kind of maybe ignorant or anything like that to the coaching standards of with women's football, but could that be beneficial of bringing the women, helping bring them through the men's academies? Could that be maybe more beneficial in the long run for these players?
Well, it's a different sport. So I think, you know, playing and learning from men's academies, you know, peripatetically, fair enough. But really, they need coaching that's tailored to the game that they're going to go into, which is a different game.
Fair enough, Andy. And a score prediction then for the game tonight?
I think I'm going to go 3-1 to Lyon. I just don't see how there's any stopping them.
The French powerhouse will continue its dominant reign in Europe then, according to Mr. Brassel. On to Saturday's game, mate. And this has got so many twists and tails in it. Do we know what to expect from Dortmund against this Bayern side, bearing in mind that they have been so aggressive in the Champions League, yet have seemingly to take their foot off the gas in any regional competitions in Germany?
Yeah, I think we do know what to expect from them. Apart from the odd little slip, like Saturday's game against Hoffenheim, the ending of that being the prime example. You know, we can't take their league form for the season as representative of the sort of threat they're posing in Europe. Of course, they're still a growing power. And I think they've found it very difficult to compete on both domestic and continental level. I mean, of course, last season you could say the reason they retained the Bundesliga title is because they didn't just go out of the Champions League, they went out of Europe completely by Christmas, because they finished in bottom spot in that group with Arsenal, Marseille and Olympiacos. So that is the next challenge for them. But Bayern know them very well. And even though they've broken their duck against them, having not beaten them for the last two seasons, in this season, beating them in the Super Cup and in the DFB Pokal as well, the German Cup, you know, they're more than aware of the quality that Dortmund have, and they've not steamed past them on either of those occasions. In fact, I think the game where they've really dominated them over the last couple of seasons was the game at the Allianz this season, where Roman Weidenfeller had one of his best matches this year, and Dortmund still didn't lose. It was a 1-1 draw in that game. So, you know, they know that even if they're dominating play, Dortmund can hang in there as well. And of course, even without Mario Götze, they have plenty of creative outlets.
I was going to say, the loss of Götze, how big a loss is it on this side for Dortmund going into the game?
It is a big loss, but on the other hand, Dortmund's whole thing is they're about the collective, not about any individual. You know, you look at some of the players they've lost, going back to that 2011 title win. Of course, they lost Nuri Sahin. Lucas Barrios moved on, forcing Robert Lewandowski to step up. Well, in fact, they got rid of Barrios because Robert Lewandowski stepped up. But at one point, it didn't look as if they could do without him. They've lost Kagawa. They've moved on from that, and I'm sure they'll continue. I mean, in one way, it's never a good thing when a player this good misses such a showpiece final. But on the other hand, it takes away a very unwanted distraction. You know, I think he would have to win the trophy. No one goes into a Champions League final to lose it, even if they're playing against the club that they're going to make the rest of their career with. But it does take that little doubt out of spectators' minds, and it's just, you know, getting rid of a little bogus subplot, I suppose. And you know, for Dortmund, it's something that they're going to have to go with next season. You know, they've done without Götze for big chunks of the end of last season, and the second half of last season, and the start of this season as well, and all the creative burden fell onto Royce, and you know, they did fine in that spell. So it's a blow, but not a fatal one.
Do you think there's an element of convenience about this? Maybe it's a decision that Klopp wants to be able to make, to take away that extra kind of dark cloud hanging over Dortmund going into the final, knowing that Götze is going to be playing for Bayern Munich next season.
I think it stops people talking about it, like I said. But I don't think Klopp would have had any doubts about including him. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, you know, just look at the way that Götze celebrated in the semi-final after they got through. He feels really part of this, and you know, it's his club. He's come up the whole way. He's had a big influence on the success, as have a number of other players. And I think there'll be a little bit of disappointment all around, even if it does mean they don't get badgered by the media about it.
It's an embarrassment of riches that Bayern Munich possess. But do you think there's any chance of Arjen Robben not starting this game? We've seen them play so well without him during the season. And Robben can be very selfish at times, but can also be the ideal person to help stretch the play with Ribery and him working the flanks.
That's right. And I think he'll stay in for this one, Ollie, because he's been great over the last couple of months. And, you know, we've always wondered, Arjen Robben has the talent of a world-class player, and he often is one of the very best players in the world. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But he's very rarely mentioned in that breath because people think of him as you said, a bit selfish, a bit disruptive, a bit inconsistent. Ever since Mourinho pinpointed at Chelsea, maybe he felt he could have played through some slight injuries, and he didn't. You know, there have been questions over his commitment. But the concurrence at Bayern has really made him step up an extra level in the second half of this season. You know, and that has been part of the secret, I think, of Bayern's success. The fact that they've just had so much competition for places, and it's pushed the starters to carry on doing as well as they have, and it's, you know, pushed Gomez and Robin to new heights, just banging on the door, and they've all been able to come in and do a good job when it's required of them. But I think one of the biggest features of the first against Barcelona in the semi-final was the incredible amount of work that Ribery and Robin got through on the flanks. You know, it wasn't just what they did in an attacking sense, but they were both acting almost as auxiliary fullbacks, coming back a long way, getting the ball like midfield recuperators, and then coming forward. And to see Ribery doing that is no surprise, the way he's played over the last two seasons. He's been absolutely magnificent for Bayern, and obviously it's all led from his great relationship that he has with Jupp Heynckes. But with Robin, it's a bit more revelatory. And I think that he's managed to do that is a promise, not just that, you know, he could be a key player in this final, and of course he almost was in the 2010, but that maybe he can carry on being that for Bayern or indeed for someone else in the future.
Andy, you mentioned Ribery and how good he's been over the last two seasons, and for me he's been arguably one of the best players in Europe overall this year. Has he in the last, you know, 18 months or so, has he done enough to be warranted to be put up for that Ballon d'Or nomination, maybe alongside Messi and Ronaldo?
Well, I think when it comes down to the bare stats, they're always going to lead the way. Messi and Ronaldo, and the two absolute phenomena. There's no doubt about it. But Ribery has been fantastic, nevertheless. I think when you cut it down to bare statistics, and you see this season in the Bundesliga, Ribery has returned good figures of 10 goals and 15 assists. But of course, it's way short of what they've done. But I think, as I said, it's about more than that with him. It's about the runs he makes. It's about the industry he provides, and you know, that's something that's really changed in him, and I can see why he wants to stay with Bayern for life, because you know, it's clearly an environment that brings the best out of him.
It has brought the best out of him, especially in the last two seasons. As you say, we've only seen Bayern lose three times this year, to Bate Borisov, to Bayer Leverkusen, and to Arsenal in the Champions League knockout stages. What's the key to bringing down this Bayern side? Is there a key yet? Have we found that weakness?
Yeah, and it's something people have been talking about for a while, even when they have been really scaling the heights. Set pieces is somewhere where they've really come up short all season. For that reason, I wonder if, particularly later in the game on Saturday, because I don't expect him to start, maybe Nuri Sahin could be important, and his delivery could be important, because there are lots of targets in that side for him to aim for. Of course, not only forward players, but you have Mats Hummels, Nevin Subotic, Felipe Santana, who we've seen in the Champions League this season, can make a nuisance of himself in the opposition penalty box. So, I don't want to just reduce Dortmund to that. But I think it could be a potent weapon, and it was something we saw them come up short again with in that final league game, Bayern, against Borussia Mönchengladbach, when they conceded those early goals. You know, really poor marking for the first goal, the Martin Stransel goal. And you know, that's something I think if we go back about a month and a half to when they beat Hamburg 9-2 at the Allianz, of course, it was an incredible forward performance. But you know, the two goals they gave up from set pieces, even when they're at their very best, shows how they can be a bit of a danger to themselves sometimes. And you know, I know Manuel Neuer is one of the best goalkeepers in the world, but sometimes he's not quite as commanding as he could be in crosses. So I think that's something to have a little look at going into this game.
Both sides will have had a week to iron out the creases since that last day of the Bundesliga season. As you say, though, neither showered themselves in glory. Will that hang in the players' heads at all, or will the kind of whirlwind and build-up to this final mean that that last game in the Bundesliga season will be completely forgotten about?
I think it will be, but I think it was clearly important preparation for them, as you say, ironing out the creases, because they both played pretty much the sides that we would expect them to play in the final, the 11s that we would expect them to play in the final. So I think with Bayern, it was great preparation because they could battle back and win the game after a really poor start. With Dortmund, I think they'd be not especially unhappy with the performance, but unhappy about the way it turned out. And you could see towards the end, especially with the disallowed goal, the arguments between the two coaches on the touchline at the Westfalen. You know, of course, it mattered to Hoffenheim. We know about that, but it really mattered to Dortmund as well. So they were clearly building towards it then. So I don't think they'll be thinking too hard about the results or about mistakes they made. But you know, it showed that they're definitely getting psyched for it from a very, very early stage.
Who's going to win it then, Andy? It's the big question. It's really the finale to all of this chat. Who's going to end up being the winner?
Bayern are obviously heavy favourites. I just have a sneaking feeling for Dortmund. I can't really describe it. I was talking to Pierre van Hooijdonk about this recently. I was telling Borussia Dortmund's TV channel, actually, early who I thought would win. I said I just thought it would be Dortmund. And he said to me, "Yeah, I don't know what it is about them. There's just something magical about them." I think that's quite a good way of putting it. You know, it's partly the youth of the side, it's partly the spirit of the side, it's partly the way they're so cast in Jurgen Klopp's image. And I just think on what's going to be a fantastic pitch at Wembley, I went and had a little look at it earlier in the week. There are so many good players on this pitch, and it's just a one-off. So it's not impossible. And that, you know, Dortmund, unlike any other team, are capable of getting under Bayern's skin, are capable of driving them to distraction, and maybe they can do that one final time.
The magic in the air around Wembley, says Andy Brassel. And I think there's a lot of people that have that same feeling. Head is with Bayern, heart is with Dortmund. Andy, it's been a pleasure to have you join the go-round that will be taking place in Europe this season as well.
Pleasure, mate. Enjoy the final.
You too. Andy Brassel there joining us here on World Football Daily to talk all things about the Champions League finals, both the women's and the men's. The men's coming up on Saturday night, of course, at Wembley Stadium. The women play tonight down at Stamford Bridge. Olympique Lyonnais taking on Wolfsburg.